Welcome to the fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, I have sat in this chair for many, many years, at least two decades, with a monitor, a big monitor in front of me that has all of the news networks on it. And I have CNN in one corner, Fox News, CNBC, and MSNBC. And I look at them and almost, I mean, with an exception of maybe one being out of step with the others, they're almost always the same lead headlines. Okay. Just looked up a minute ago. First one, hush money trial. Second one, inflation disinformation. Third one, Iranian attack imminent. And the other one was government spending out of control. I don't know. Looks like we have a lot of issues going on. Lots of them. Probably the most pressing for this weekend is a possible Iranian strike, terrorist attacks, and your budget, your money, your future of making money, the future for your children, what's happening to our society, and I mean the entire West, when it comes to capital, when it comes to doing business and having money. They are slowly bleeding people dry. Carol Roth joins me in 60 seconds to give you the update on this. You know, I'm a doctor, right? I mean, I'm a doctor. I'm not any old doctor. I'm a doctor of humanities, which I'm pretty sure means anything involving the human condition, I can answer. So I have the answer for you. I mean, I am an expert. I'm a doctor, man. Damn it. The best practices when it comes to buying or selling a house, does that involve humans? Yes, doctorate in humanities. That's why I can help you with that. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. It's not just any old real estate. It's one you can trust. And you can trust me because I'm a doctor. I started a company over a decade ago with my brother. It's RealEstateAgentsITrust.com because honestly, I didn't know what I was doing. This was before I was a doctor. I didn't know what I was doing. And I was sick and tired of, I don't know who a good real estate is. How do you find them? Well, I like to get my recommendations from bus boards. I think when it's got that smiling face on there and they're like, hey, call us, you're selling your house. I think that's the best way to go for it. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com doesn't do it that way. We actually vet all of these people, monitor all of these people, see and get customer responses to make sure they are using the best practices, they're actually listening to people, and they're some of the best in your area. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. Just tell us where you're buying or selling, whether it's across the street or across the country, and we'll help you find the right real estate agent, usually in just a few minutes. So it's RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. Carol Roth, I know we have a lot to talk about, so just quickly, I woke up this morning looking at gold prices and was kind of impressed on how they're skyrocketing. And I remember a conversation with a gold guy who said, don't ever, ever look at gold and say, gee, I hope it goes up because of my portfolio. And we were talking about $3,000 an ounce. And he said, do you realize how crazy the world has to be for gold to be at $3,000 an ounce? It's over $2,400 now. We're headed there quickly.
Yes, I remember a discussion that you and I had with a group of people, I believe, in November of last year, when people were saying a similar thing.
Yeah.
When is gold going to break out? And you and I were both communicating the idea that gold is really a hedge against all kinds of insanity, things like inflation, things like the crumbling standing of the dollar, things like war. And so when you see that gold continues to rise, even in the face of things like rising yields on bonds. I mean, normally there's a little bit of pushback there. We saw that as bond yields had gone up, people were moving away from gold because you weren't getting that same interest rate. You know, mm-hmm. gold doesn't produce an interest rate. So there's a different reason why we are looking at gold. And some of the things that we're talking about are a bit more structural. Perhaps gold playing a bigger role in things like settling international commodities, trades and trading between countries, particularly the BRICS nations. But again, all of the things that are these signals, none of them are good for us here in the United States. No. You know, if the signal is, oh, well, it's just because of, you know, trade, well, that's not good for the U.S. dollar's reserve currency, and that's not good for, you know, inflation over the long term and our purchasing power. So all of these things do have a mechanism. And when you see, you know, so much interest in gold over the past few months, when it has been very steady for a while, that breakout is giving you additional information. And like you said, in this particular case, I think that information is coming from lots of different places.
Oh, yeah.
And not one of them is good.
Yeah. One of them that is, you know, we're hitting the point where our debt, the interest on our debt, is going to be $1.6 trillion a year. That's more than Social Security. It's the biggest line. It will be the top line on our budget now, is just the interest, because we have an adjustable mortgage in America. And the Fed, I think, is out of bullets.
Yeah, I've been making this argument now for a couple of years that the Fed's monetary policy isn't effective because they're trying to control demand. And so many of the issues that we've had are on the supply side.
Yep.
Additionally, we had been headed, and I kind of think we're in today, this period of fiscal dominance. And as we've talked about before, that just means that fiscal policy plays a bigger role in what is determining economic outcomes than monetary policy. On its face, that is sort of neutral fiscal dominance, but in our particular situation, it's very bad. It's because of the debt, it's because of the deficits, and it's because of the fact that we have these massive interest payments and continuing deficits that need to be financed and are creating this vicious loop. And as we know, there's not a lot of ways to finance the debt.
Right.
There certainly are not a lot of buyers. And we saw that this week. There was a treasury auction for 10-year treasury notes that did horribly. It was rated a D by Brooke Santelli at CNBC, who's very, very smart. D, by the way, I don't know if you know this, is right next to F. So that is a very bad position to be in. And
we've always said, been triple A, haven't we?
So there's a debt rating, and that's done by the rating agencies. These are the bond auctions. This is when the Treasury goes out to the market and says, you know, how is it that, you know, how did we do? How many buyers were there who were who want to buy our debt?
Okay.
And so this happens on a regular basis. And, you know, people who watch this, they give those auctions a grade to say, how did we do? Were there a lot of buyers? Were there not a lot of buyers? So this particular time, there were not a lot of buyers, and the banks and securities dealers had to sop up a lot of that debt, which just is, you know, it's pushing us to this path of monetization again that we've been talking about. And that means that we're buying our own debt, and that is inflationary. So even if we're not getting things like rate cuts that potentially could stoke inflation, you're going to get this monetization of debt, which is inflationary, which is why I've been arguing that inflation is sticky, and it doesn't matter if the Fed goes high or low. It's getting us on either side until the government gets its act together. They are driving the show. It is that fiscal dominance.
Tell me about the consumer price index and the wholesale index. The numbers don't make sense. For instance, fuel is not an inflation. It isn't in inflation right now. Look at the price of fuel. What do they mean?
So, you know who loves the data coming out of the government right now, Glenn?
The government.
Oscar the Grouch. You know why? Because the data is trash. It is absolutely trash data. Not only have we seen adjustments on a regular basis, the scope of which we have not seen in a long time. The numbers always get adjusted,
right,
but we have not seen these massive adjustments that we've been seeing. We also have a phenomenon where people and entities who are respond to the surveys where they collect the data don't want to do that anymore. Either they don't want to be bothered, they don't trust the government, you know, with their data, whatever it is, they don't want to give up their competitive advantages. So they're having fewer people respond to these surveys, which means that there is more of this projection and biases in the survey. So that's why we saw, you know, the CPI, which is the consumer price index, that's where they go out and they survey households, that came in higher than expected. We all expected that it would be an uptick because, as you said, we know the price of oil and other commodities have been going up. So this was not a surprise to any of us who live in the real world. And so that was somewhat reflected in that data. And certainly the market had reacted to that and said, oh, well, you know, if that's the case, the Fed can't cut. Then we have another measure of inflation because they measure it in different ways. And this is the producer price index, PPI, which is the wholesale measure of inflation. And this is supposed to tell you what's coming because, you know, the inputs that go into your right. goods and services give you a sense of what's coming down the pike. And this was the one that was the head scratcher because it was not higher. There's a huge disconnect between these two measures always, but even a bigger disconnect. But the one, as you said, that everybody was going, what's going on here related to energy? So there was floating around social media yesterday, there was a chart about the seasonal adjustments, again, right. this manipulation of the data that they do. And if you looked at that, it showed you that gasoline for the month was down 3.6%, I think it was.
But if you 3.6.
Right. So if you didn't seasonally adjust it, it would have been up 6.3%. That's a really big swing. That's like a 10% swing between the two of them. So again, Oscar the Grouch data here. Certainly, we're going to get another measure in a couple of weeks here, one called the PCE, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index. This is the Fed's quote-unquote favored measure. I don't know. Maybe they like the people who do it better. It's a little bit more broad, but that's what they tend to make their policy decisions on. But the media and everybody's focused on the CPI, so it makes it very difficult for them, or at least adds another layer of difficulty because they're going to do whatever it is that they want to do when that is going up, for them to say, well, inflation's under control. You know, we can go ahead and start to cut interest rates, which is why I think everybody needs to be paying attention to their other tools, which relate to the balance sheet and debt and what they're going to do there, because that's just a different way for them to be accommodative.
They're not going to do anything. He's not addressing inflation. Biden is spending more. He's now, you know, again, forgiving more debt, trying to get people into houses. I mean, we are just giving away the store at this point.
We've been saying this since day one. They have been working in the opposite direction. If you wanted to help the Fed get inflation under control as the government, you should have been working with them. You should not have been running up deficits. You've been putting into place policies that help supply issues instead of hurting supply issues. Every single thing this administration has done has been a barrier, not only to you keeping your wealth and your purchasing power, but what it is the Fed has been doing. And that's the fight that the Fed's been having. And I just think at some point they're going to need to be real explicit and say, we can't do anything until our partners get on the same page. But, you know, everything's political. So,
yeah,
you know, that's not going
to
happen.
All right. When we come back, she's actually been invited to be somebody who testifies in front of Congress. Carol Roth in front of Congress testifying as an expert by the end of the month on small businesses. And she's going to be talking about the FinCEN, thing that's going on with LLCs and small businesses, where you have to register all this information or you're a criminal.
Yeah.
And it's going to devastate small businesses, small LLCs, et cetera, and it affects so many people. She's going to be testifying, but here's the good news. She wants to use information that maybe you have to back up her testimony, and we'll talk about that in 60 seconds. First, ever since 9/11, the Tunnel Towers Foundation has been helping America's greatest heroes and their families, and you can join them on their mission to do good by supporting the families of America's greatest heroes, the families of fallen first responders, the Gold Star families with young children, catastrophically injured service members, and homeless veterans. I cannot believe we live in a country that is doing what we're doing with illegals and we have homeless veterans. They're providing mortgage-free homes to these people, some of them specially adapted for the needs of catastrophically injured veterans, and they're working tirelessly every day to eliminate homelessness among veterans. This is an organization respected by and donated to by many of their own people in and out of uniform. David Marshall, he served in the Army during World War II. He fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's never forgotten the sacrifice of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of the first responders on 9/11 or the days and the months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate goes to Tunnel to Towers, to its programs. So they're not spending it on limousines and everything else. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. 10 seconds, station ID. Now, I think our banks are fine. Everything's doing really well. Just a quick update. The AT&T tower in St. Louis went for $3.55 million. That's a good solid $2 a square foot. Sold for $3 million. It was sold for over $205 million just about 15 years ago. So, no, there's nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Carol, let's talk about small business.
Yes.
Take me through, again, in case people don't know what FinCEN is and what they're now requiring people to do. This is the criminal arm of the Treasury. And they're asking everybody who has an LLC or a small business to register.
Yes. So this is called the CTA BOI rule. And basically what it said, and this was passed by Congress, was vetoed by President Trump. And then they went back and Congress overturned the veto and gave this arm of the Treasury, which is charged with preventing financial crimes, sort of free rein. And they said, OK, we're going to create a database. And if you have any sort of entity, if you have an LLC, even a single member LLC, an S corp, a C corp, any sort of entity, and you're a business, you need to register with us, the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, because we want to prevent money laundering and cartels. And of course, you know, I'm sure all of those people are going to self-report, but they exempted
all the best cartels do.
Yeah, they all do. Yeah, they're like, you know, we're going to do these things, but we're going to make sure that FinCEN gets our information. But they exempted all the big businesses. So this is unfairly targeting small businesses. So the updates, a few things are what are happening, and we can certainly go more into this, is that I have been invited by the House Small Business Committee to be an expert to testify and, you know, obviously testify against this and how bad this is for small businesses and how unconstitutional at the end of the month. What I am doing is I am bringing statements from small business owners, because it's great to hear my statement, but if I can show up there and say I have 100 or 200 small businesses and here's what they have to say about this and they're all outraged, that holds a lot more weight. So anyone who owns a small business, if you support small business, go to carolroth.com/CTA. That's carolroth.com/CharlieTangoAlpha. And I've made it really easy. I've given a form letter that if you want, you can borrow some of it. You can borrow all of it. You can borrow none of it. But I'm going to show up at Congress with this stack from small business owners to say, you've heard what I have to say. Now listen to what small business owners from across the nation have to say to try to get them to overturn this.
Now, I'm today's not the day for me to write something.
Yes.
Because I'm in a very bad mood. But I could I just write to you and say, yeah, here's what I'd like to say to Congress. I'm working my ass off so I can keep my family afloat and the families of all of my employees. And you guys are just making my life more and more difficult with more and more restrictions and guidelines that nobody in Congress passed and are not good for the American people.
Please do. Again, carolroth.com/CTA. Please do that. And I actually think being in a bad mood is a good time to write it, because that's when you're going to be honest and that's when you're not going to pull any punches.
I'll write today then.
So, speaking of helping, so one of the things that you did that was very generous, Glenn, is you offered to put forth a lawsuit, and I agreed. We cannot do that because we have been outspoken. But the good news is that there are two new lawsuits against this that have also popped up. So we have a lot of really good momentum here.
Okay.
And appreciative to you for all of your help.
Okay, so give me the address again. It's carolroth.com/CTA, correct?
Correct.
Okay, carolroth.com/CTA. If you're a small business owner, go ahead, vent a little bit. You'll take it to Congress. Thanks, Carol.
Glenn Beck.
When MyPillow started out, they were really only after one thing, making an amazing, comfortable pillow that would bring people a great night's sleep. Well, they accomplished that. But they also pissed off a lot of people along the way. And those people have decided to make this what was a small business at one point to put them out of business. So they made it so nobody can carry their commercials. And I just quite honestly don't give a flying crap. So we still take their commercials, but, you know, their commercials can't air on television, et cetera, et cetera. The big box stores, oh, geez, we're too afraid of controversy. Really? Are you? Anyway, they're having a $25 extravaganza because they appreciate you and they want to keep your business and they want to introduce you to some of their new products. $25 extravaganza, promo code Beck. Two-pack multi-use pillows, $25. My Pillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets are $25. The premium My Pillows with the all-new Giza fabric, $25. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and type in my name, Beck, and you will save $25 for almost everything at MyPillow.com. All right, more in just a minute on Where Do We Go From Here? Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. Last week, I saw Christopher Rufo, who I greatly admire, write and talk about something we don't need to even talk about. But in that, he said, the right faces an inflection point. There are serious people who are trying to advance a serious political movement with a vision for governing. There are also unserious people who are willing to sell kayfabe and conspiracy, leading us nowhere. I care about politics because I believe we have substantive work to do for the country. This requires putting together a coalition that is capable of taking responsibility. The choice is ours. I responded to that, and people, and I'm hoping Christopher didn't, but people thought that I was coming after Christopher, and I wasn't. I was really frustrated with, he's right, but what does a serious option look like? I said, I have great respect for Chris Rufo. He has done more to expose the rot than many of us combined. But Chris, the only option I see that is viable is a return to the Constitution and Bill of Rights. All of our problems stem from the violation of these documents. Congress doesn't care, nor does it even attempt to do its job. Every administration is worse than the last. At this point, it is all powerful. Supreme Court has trouble defining a woman. May God help us with them defining any of the amendments. Our Justice Department, Intel, and every agency has been co-opted by radicals. Those that believe in a constitutional republic are not the radicals. There is another option. Return to E Pluribus Unum, the Bill of Rights and Constitution. So I wanted to get Christopher on because I heard from so many people, that we were warring. And Christopher, I'm sorry if I led anybody of your friend circle to think that I would stand against you, because I have such admiration for you.
Of course not. No, I didn't take any offense to it. And in fact, I found that we were actually in agreement. So I'm glad we have a chance to talk in greater depth. I mean, I think you diagnosed the problem there perfectly. But the question that I'm raising is, how do we get there? What kind of coalition do we need? What kind of intellectual leadership will we need? And then what political leadership will need? And what I've noticed on the right, especially after the horrific 10/7 attacks against Jews in Israel, is that there has been a fragmentation, and there are some people who are chasing conspiracy theories. There's a rise, a kind of resurgence on the outer fringes of some anti-Semitism on the right.
Yep.
And then there are people who are elevating their profiles in media on conspiracy theories that lead nowhere, on kind of tabloid style gossip that doesn't offer any concrete possibility. And so I think we have a media problem, and we have, in addition, a leadership problem. And
when you say a media problem, you mean the right media?
Yes, absolutely. I think that if you look at kind of serious conservative media figures, and of course I would include you in this, you're always doing the reporting, the conversations, trying to guide people towards something that they can do, some legislation that politicians can pass, some policy that we can adopt, some kind of counterculture that we can build. But I think given the dynamics of online media, advertising, audience building, and then just the dynamics of kind of general tech and media trends, some people are being, you know, kind of generously rewarded with clicks and attention who don't actually offer anything substantive. And I think it gets some of our audience, some of our listeners, in this outrage cycle where they're outraged for outrage's sake, but they have no, they're not being directed towards guiding that outrage towards something constructive. And I've seen it. It can really be damaging to people, and it's certainly damaging to a political movement. And I don't think it's a failure of the audience. I think it's actually a failure of us in the media, in positions of authority, in positions of leadership. You always have to guide people towards something that can make their lives better. And if we're not doing that, we're taking advantage, and we have to stop.
So I completely agree with you. So what is, I mean, because we agree on the solution, and this is my point back to you was, I am very afraid of, you know, serious options, because there is another split in the right that is willing to look at extra constitutional solutions. And that's really dangerous. And starting to say, well, this Constitution, maybe it's old and dusty, like the left has been saying. No. All of our problems are solved by two things. One, the people living a better life. And I don't mean like you're making more money. I mean, you're a more decent, humble, and just better person. Plus, the rule of law being restored as written. So where do you see anybody coming up and really promoting that, Chris?
Well, I think that's exactly what we need to do. And I've been very vocal. There's a lot of frustration on the right. There's a lot of anxiety, but all of our problems can be solved through kind of normal, peaceful democratic means.
Yes.
We still have a great system, but our system is atrophying because we aren't using that system. And so I would point to the leadership of someone whom I admire very much, Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida.
Yes.
He had the same legislature that Jeb Bush did. He had the same state constitution. And yet he's using power effectively within the law to make Florida a better state for people to live, work, and raise families. And so I think we have to really discipline our own coalition. We have to stop engaging in these kind of fantasies of extrajudicial or extra-parliamentary politics. And we have to say, if we are going to be the conservative political party, the conservative political movement, we have to respect the documents and just be smarter, be more persistent, be more diligent in actually practicing politics. And so there are models out there that are successful. And I think we have another model of the kind of more, say, radical, kind of extra constitutional model that is a dismal failure. It's always been a dismal failure. When the left did it in the late 1960s and early 1970s with those radical movements, The American people rejected them. If the right does it at any time, now or in the future, the people, the citizens will reject them. It's a dead end. And we need media figures that are kind of telling people to straighten out, to have self-discipline, to remind people of the constitutional principles that we're fighting for, and then to lay out a plausible plan, because people get desperate when they think they have no other options. And so it's our responsibility to show them the concrete options, not just spin out, into conspiracy land.
So, Chris, I don't listen to anybody else. I don't watch anybody else. I read, but I've tried to cut my reading back to about 4 hours a day, because it's just poison. It's just all poison. But it's part of my job. I've got to read and be informed. So I don't hear things. I am very concerned about just somebody doing something stupid. I'm also very concerned about this very, very, very small group of people that are Christian nationalists, but it's very small. I am not concerned about the average listener, if you will.
Correct.
You seem to be, I don't know if your concern is greater than mine, and I'm pretty concerned about things. I want to judge what is it that you're feeling or is bringing this out in such a passionate way? I want to make sure I'm not missing it.
Yeah, well, I think we are approaching a critical period in our country's history. And, you know, I think the genesis of my comments was this, you know, blow up between Candace Owens and the Daily Wire, you know, Ben Shapiro's publication. And, you know, I think that I try to be disciplined in my criticisms of people within our coalition, within our movement. But, you know, Candace had been arguing that there are secret gangs of Jews murdering people in Hollywood. She had rationalized Kanye West's, kind of deranged anti-Semitic outbursts. She had been, you know, pushing stories about how the president of France's wife is actually a man. And these are stories that drive clicks. They drive controversy, but they actually don't create anything substantive. And unfortunately, there is a kind of rising group of commentators and media figures that have figured out that the way to get cheap attention is to put forward stories like these. And I just think that we have to be, of course, kind of tolerant of a range of opinion, but there also is an outer bound or a limit that any political movement needs to maintain its own coherence and its own discipline. And so,
and you're not talking about censorship. You're just talking about self-control.
That's right. It's first self-discipline, and then it's also giving people a better option. So, yeah. Of course, I mean, I don't think any of these opinions should be censored. They shouldn't be, you know, stricken from the record. The government should not have any sway whatsoever. But I think that it's up to us to have that discerning judgment and then to also show people why this is such a limitation, why it actually is not helpful, and to get people out of this outrage cycle that depletes them. And into a cycle of participation in politics in the real sense. You know, politics is not, tweeting conspiracy theories. Politics is actually winning elections, changing the law, and managing institutions. And so we need a movement that is capable of doing that. And if we're not a movement that is capable of doing that, we don't deserve power, we don't Correct. Deserve to win, and we don't deserve to have our ideas shaping the law.
We're talking to Christopher Rufo. I am gravely concerned that any time between now and really probably January 20th of next year is the most dangerous place our republic may have ever been, and that's including in the Civil War. We are at the edge of losing everything. Somebody does something stupid, we go to war, the economy collapses, whatever it is, there is... There is a real shot that we lose our freedom. It's happening all. I mean, look what's happening in Brazil. This is happening all over the West right now. And I know I have self-edited more than I've ever edited, because I want to be very careful with my words, because I am so concerned about the cries of dis and mis and malinformation that will be wrongly pointed in people's direction by the state. But it's important now that we are speaking clearly and as accurately as we possibly can. Do you feel the same way?
I feel the same way, and I'm very concerned about it. And I think this really dovetails nicely with my overall argument. You know, if we don't have the self-discipline, and if we engage in these kind of wild lines of media narratives, it's going to provide, it's fake, but it will provide a kind of rationalization or justification for continued censorship. If the government and the organized left can point to verifiably false conspiracy theories, they can then use it as justification for censorship. Obviously, I don't support that. I think you should.
Correct.
I think everyone has the right to say whatever they want, you know, true, false, good or bad. But you know, we have to be realistic about it. And this is a major threat of getting deplatformed, of getting debanked, of getting kind of de-anonymized, exposed. And so we unfortunately, I mean, look, the New York Times can publish conspiracy theories for 3 years about Russiagate. They'll be awarded the Pulitzer Prize and they'll pay no price when it turns out to be all a pack of lies. We don't have that luxury. I wish we did, but we have to take the reality for what it is. We have to be more disciplined. We have to have higher standards, and we have to fight much smarter than our opponents. That said, the good news is that when we fight smart, like DeSantis has done in Florida, there is a wide open vista of possibility for us. And we can and we can truly create, you know, what I think of as a counter hegemony that will create a bulwark or a defense against all of the awful things that the organized left is doing.
Christopher Rufo, thank you so much. Thanks for being a friend of the show and a friend of freedom. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. Relief Factor is our sponsor. Inflammation. The word just sounds unpleasant, doesn't it? There's a lot of people in the world who suffer from frequent pain, and inflammation is usually the thing causing it. Inside your body, joints can begin to swell. The next thing you know, you have pain radiating out from the sources of your body. I've heard hundreds of people talk about this over the years, and I know from personal experience, you can stop this. Relief Factor can give you your life back. It's not a drug. It's a daily supplement that helps your body fight pain by fighting inflammation. It's 100% drug-free. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor's Quick Start Kit. 70% of them got on to order it again. It will help reduce or eliminate the everyday aches and pains that you're experiencing. See how Relief Factor can help you with their 3-week Quick Start Kit. It's $19.95. Comes with Relief Factor's Feel Better Your Money Back Guarantee. So give it a try. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. 800-4-RELIEF. When you feel the difference, you know it works. ReliefFactor.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Before I leave today for the weekend, I just want to thank you so much for listening, so much for being there. You know, I know we speak to millions of people every week, probably about, I think it's 11 million just on this program every week. And I'm grateful. And I don't know how many people in that 11 million are actually making changes in their life. But if you are, I thank you for that. And don't give up. We have to be a better people than we are. I know many people, at times I'm included in this, that are better people than we were when we started this journey. And we still have a long way to go. But if we are going to be the people that I have always thought this audience would be, and that is the people who actually, even if it's in remnants, saves the Republic and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, we are going to have to be really strong, loving, kind, peaceful. We are going to need to be as close to that carpenter from Nazareth as possible. Spend your weekend making plans to be just a better person and have a safe weekend. Thank you for listening.
The Glenn Beck Program.